Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is episode 48, and I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Good.
Not much as far as news in the horse racing world. Good to hear Victor Espinoza's out of the hospital, and he's got a long road for recovery, but I think he's going to be okay, don't you think?
Yeah, actually, when I first read the news, it really sounded pretty bad. I was really concerned. You know, he's one of my favorite jocks. And that it looks like there's some rehab ahead, but at least there's no paralyzation or anything like that. I know that he said that he had tingling in his fingers and his toes when he first fell. So, you know, that's always a scary sign. But, yeah, it looks like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I just saw the video. Of course, someone had to post it. And, you know, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah,
but I'll look glad he recovered, and we're going to be looking forward to seeing him racing in some fashion someday here. All right, let's start with our normal stuff here. Make sure you're visiting our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top of the page, you find all the ways to listen to us. Links are there. Join our Facebook group at the top there. Click that link. It brings it to our Facebook page. If you want to listen to us on the Amazon Echo, you can ask Echo, play Off the Charts Horse Racing on TuneIn, and you'll be able to listen to our episode. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Off the Charts HR, as Steve may post any late day changes or some other picks he finds. We now have almost 13,250 downloads plus of our podcasts, and episode 47 again was downloaded. As it seems like we're pretty consistent, about 400 times. We can't thank you enough for listening here. So we're going to review the agenda here. We'll review last week and I'll talk about some of the things that happened last week. Horse Nugget segment, our friend Chuck has got you inspired again. We're going to talk about apparently he's inspiring you lately, as I said.
We
chuckled about that because it's kind of an inside joke between you and I with him. But don't chase the last race. That should be a good topic. And then you got a handicap, three races off the Saratoga card on Saturday. The big race is the Whitney, and we'll dig into that. So let's go ahead and review last week.
Yeah, Dave, so four stakes handicapped last week, a top pick winner who dead heated at 5-1 and wound up only paying $7.40. Actually, I thought he won the race, but the photos don't lie. But we did have a winner as a top pick that went off at 5-1. And we did also have a top two pick winner. So in four races, a top pick winner, a top two pick winner, which kind of keeps our percentage and streak going on of us having identified the winner in just about half the races that we handicapped in our top two picks. So overall, 255 stakes handicapped, 115 top two pick winners. So 45% of the time, the winner can be found in our top two picks, which is, you know, again, Dave, you know, I don't know how other handicappers do, but in my world, that's pretty good. And considering that, you know, I'm not giving out four favorites every time I give out a pick or a selection on this handicapping show. So, you know, I'm trying to identify some price plays and some horses that can win. And a lot of them do come in. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, we're meeting the challenge that we took on when we first started this podcast, Dave.
Yeah, 45%. Geez, I couldn't complain about that one bit. So I mean, I keep seeing that same number for the last 47 episodes. So your consistency, that's the hard game in this world of horse racing. So no, you've been doing great. So we appreciate everything you provide us, and that's definitely great. So, but let's move right on along here and talk about our horse nug segment. Again, our friend Chuck inspired you again, wanted to talk about some of the things what you shouldn't do when you're betting the races, and don't chase that last race. Go ahead and tell you.
Yeah. So, so as you know, Dave, Chuck, our friend Chuck, who we've known for a long time, you know, started his horse racing investment around harness racing, and eventually moved over to the thoroughbreds, and has been doing it a long time. And he likes to send us very lengthy emails with suggestions. And one of the things he had said in the last email he sent to you and I was to remind the listeners not to chase the last race. And I thought it was a good thought, and one that I sometimes forget, and really it covers a few topics, mainly about that concept of not chasing your losses. You know, some days are not your day when you're, if you're losing close photo finishes and early in the day, or you just missed a pick three, don't take the last money in your account or in your pocket and try to get all back on the last race. With the advent of simulcast racing and multiple track horse racing every day, there's always tomorrow. Pick your spots. You don't have to be a winner today. You just have to be a winner over the course of a period of time. And if you can show yourself with your records that you can win over the course of a year, that is really all that matters. So Chuck reminded me that I should mention to the listeners not to chase your losses. The other thing that happens, Dave, when you're chasing your losses, especially when you're chasing them on the last race, you make bad decisions. You find gold in a horse that really has no shot, and you try to find some silver lining with the hopes of cashing some large ticket to make up for all the lost bets you had earlier in the day. If you like something in the last race, great. There's many times when my top selection on a given race card is in the last race. And I work my pick threes, pick fours, pick fives around that horse, and I single that horse. But I try not to chase. The other thing is that it reminded me about not chasing the last race of the card. I also was reminded not to chase on the last day of a meet.
Right.
So at the, at the end of the Saratoga meet, the end of the Delmar meet, the end of any meet, strange things happen on the last day of the meet. There's a number of horse players I know that call it Colony Day. And really, Colony Day is really all about those local trainers and jockeys who didn't make much money at the current meet. A lot of those, name trainers, name jockeys, I'm not saying that they let those guys who hadn't made any money either in training or winning owners, winning jockeys, but I've found that the payback day for those local trainers and jocks and owners is the last day of a meet. I would be very careful and tread very lightly on the last day of any meet.
Yeah, and like I mentioned last week, we get these folks that are betting four, five, six tracks all at once. Same thing. You don't chase for all those races. Focus yourselves on.
Absolutely cannot make money doing that.
No, you can't. It's impossible.
If you need the gambling fix, there's a real lot of more fast paced games in a casino that can give you that constant betting every two or three minutes. But if you're serious about playing the horses, it's really about picking your spots, picking your situations, following a meet, following a track, getting familiar with trainers, jockeys, what post positions are winning, whether the track's playing inside or outside. If you're going to make money at the track, that's how you make money at the track.
Absolutely.
So, and again, I don't have all the answers to the questions, but I absolutely know that for sure, Dave. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself needing to play all 10 races that are on a simulcast board or screen, you probably should reevaluate what you're doing from a gambling perspective.
Agree 100%. So, like you said, don't chase that last race. Great segment. I appreciate the info. And let's kick right into the three races that you've got handicapped at Saratoga, the graded stakes races. This is going to be a pick three. And the first race that we're going to look at is the eighth race. It's 7 furlongs. It's a grade one. It's the 93rd running of the Longines test. And the purse is $500,000 for fillies, three-year-olds, and get your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So my top selection in this eighth race, Dave, is going to be the 7 horse. The 7 horse is Mia Mischief. Mia Mischief is trained by Steve Asmussen, ridden by Ricardo Santana, 3-1 in the morning line. This horse has a ton of early speed, got cooked on a pretty fast pace last time as a very short-priced favorite against some of the same horses that are in this race. Second off a layoff, Asmussen is just lights out right now at Saratoga, 37%, Dave. 27 starts, 10 wins, 5 seconds, 3 thirds. And I seem to have recalled before the meet started, I had mentioned about Asmussen in these sprint races. And And boy, he sure has been cashing. Yep. So anyone that listened to that little bit of advice has made some nice profit off betting Asmussen early in this meet at Saratoga. So let's make the 7-horse, Dave, Mia Mischief, our top pick wire to wire. Our second selection in this race is going to be the 6-horse. The 6-horse is Separation of Powers. Chad Brown trains. Jose Ortiz, the jockey, 7-2 in the morning line. Had a pretty tough trip last time. Stumbled at the start and had to steady. Was 7 wide coming around the turn. So not the best of trips. Did close a lot of ground into a pretty fast pace. Yep. I did note the race at Saratoga where this horse broke its maiden on July 30th. I noted this sub 12-second middle eighth of a mile there. So I know this horse has got a burst, and certainly you can't go wrong with Chad Brown in stakes races at Saratoga, though I much prefer him on the turf. So let's make the 6-horse Separation of Powers our second pick. And our third and final selection, Dave, is going to be the 2-horse. The 2-horse is Spectator. Spectator's trained by Michelle Nevin. Johnny Velasquez is the jockey. 8-1 in the morning line. Anyone who's been listening to these podcasts know I think Michelle Nevin's a pretty good trainer, yeah. Pretty underrated. This horse also was in that same race with a number of these horses. The last time out is second off a layoff. Phil D'Amato used to train this horse. Looked like this thing's now on Michelle Nevin's barn. Johnny V's 24% when he rides for Michelle Nevin, and Michelle Nevin's 36% in great stakes races. So just with a limited sample, though, she certainly knows when to place her horses in graded stakes and has a great winning percentage. So I'm a big fan. So let's make the 2-horse Spectator our third selection, Dave. So to summarize, Saratoga's 8th race on Saturday, our selections are 7, 6, 2.
All right, great. And then let's move on to the second leg of the pick 3. This is the big race of the day. It's the 9th race. It's 1 1/8. It's the grade 1 91st running of the Whitney. Purses $1.2 million for 3-year-olds and upward. Get your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So, I spent a lot of time looking at this race and I've, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to beat the 6-horse Diversify. Richard Violet, really good trainer. Yeah. Irad Ortiz, the jockey. This horse is 7-5 in the morning line. An absolute monster race as our top pick in the Suburban the last time out at 6-1. Produced a 110 buyer speed figure. You might say, okay, well, you know, maybe this horse will bounce off that effort. That was a top lifetime buyer. I always like to track the next workout after the big buyer figure. And sure enough, this horse throws a bullet workout at Saratoga. This horse is awfully sharp right now, Dave. Irad knows this horse really well. This horse certainly can string back-to-back triple-digit buyer speed figures because he's done that in the past. And I thought this horse won easy last time throwing a 110 buyer speed figure. This horse looks like it might be a horse to be reckoned with as we move into the Breeders' Cup Classic and some of the other races here in the fall. So let's make the 6-horse Diversify our top selection. Excuse me. I can't get past the 2 favorites in the 1 and 2 slots, Dave. My second selection is the 4-horse Mind Your Biscuits. Chad Summers trains Joel Rosario, the jockey, 2-1 in the morning line. Produced that 109 buyer speed figure coming from Dubai. I think I had mentioned the Dubai bounce in this horse going into this horse's last race, and certainly it didn't produce a bounce. It actually produced a lifetime buyer speed figure, very similar to our top selection. Looks like this horse is feeling great right now. A bullet workout there at Belmont, has a couple of real easy workouts at Saratoga. Horse is sharp, likes to win. It's hard for me to get past Mind Your Biscuits as our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, let's go to the rail. Let's go to Tipperit. Pletcher trains Johnny V's the jock, 6-1 in the morning line. You know, this horse was a $1.2 million purchase. It's a 4-year-old colt. There is, I do think this is a talented horse. I think there could be some improvement here. Don't know that that he's as good as our top 2 selections, but we do get Pletcher 3rd off a layoff with Johnny V with the rail. And Johnny might navigate a nice trip here and maybe pick up the pieces should the contenders battle too hard in the stretch. So let's make the 1-horse Tapperit our third selection, Dave. So to summarize, race 9, Saratoga on Saturday, our selections are 6-4-1.
All right. And then let's bring it to the final leg of the pick 3. It's the 10th race. This is a mile and a half. This is a long distance. It's on the inner turf.
It really is. Yeah. Oof,
1 mile and a half. That's a long distance. It's a grade 3. It's the 15th running of the Fessick Tipton Weya. $200,000 on the inner turf for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and upward. What gives your picks?
Yeah, so I'm gonna try to get the listeners a long shot here, a price play to put in the pick threes, maybe a place a small win bet, maybe a big win bet. Yeah. I'm gonna make the 3-horse, Dave. Tricky Escape, our top selection. Lynn Ashby trains. Chris DiCarlo's the jockey. 12-1 in the morning line. This horse is second off a layoff. What I really like about this horse, Dave, is that horse raced 1.375 at Delaware last time, winning the race with DiCarlo, and finished that last eighth of a mile in less than 12 seconds. I like horses in these marathon races who can run and sprint an eighth of a mile. So what I like is you get these horses close enough as everyone's just kind of galloping around the track, and then you look for those horses that can produce that burst. DiCarlo looks like he gets along with this horse really nicely. I think Chris is an underrated jockey. I felt that way for a lot of years. Don't know much about this trainer, but I can see that she's 17% in graded stakes races. And I take a look at the favorites in this race, and no one really stands out to me as like, oh my God, how are we going to beat that horse? So I think this is the right race to put a price play on top, Dave. So let's make the 3-horse Tricky Escape our top selection. And then let's make the post time favorite, the likely post time favorite, the five Santa Monica. Chad Brown trains Jose Ortiz 2-1 the morning line. Has a nice middle half there in 46 and a nice finishing quarter of a mile in 22.69. Has a bullet workout on the Saratoga turf track and probably, you know, is deserving of the favoritism in this race. But you know, our top selection is not too far off in the buyer speed figures, and there's certainly some room for improvement there. I'll take 12-1 on top over 2-1 any day of the week. So let's make the 5-horse, Dave, Santa Monica, our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, is the 8-horse Lottie. Lottie's trained by Graham Motion. Edgar Prado rides. This horse is 4-1 the morning line. I'm not getting beat by Graham Motion again in one of these races, right, Dave. Okay. Right. I remember when it happened last time and how agitated I was. Motion is really good in these kinds of scenarios. Prado's his go-to jockey. Take a look at that last eighth of a mile in that last race in the Sheepshead Bay at Belmont at less than 11 seconds, a sub 11 second last eighth of a mile. So this horse can definitely close some ground, gets a nice outside post position where Prado can kind of evaluate the situation and settle this horse and then make a run. So let's make the 8-horse Lottie, Dave, our third and final selection in this 10th race at Saratoga on Saturday. So to summarize, our selections, race 10, Saratoga, Saturday, 3-5-8.
All right. And just a note, next week we have the Arlington Million. Is that correct?
That is correct, Dave. The Arlington Million is next Saturday, and you know that's our home court.
Yep.
And so it's highly likely that I will be looking at the races for Arlington next week.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that before we wrap it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up again. Go visit our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. And you know how to get a hold of us. You see all the links up there on the website. Twitter, make sure you're following us at offthechartshr. And like I said, any podcast updates, race day changes, and other picks will be on there as well. And if you have any questions you want to email us, our email address is questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. And with that, do you have any other closing comments?
Yeah, I just have a comment unrelated to horse racing. Okay. I just wanted to mention that I have a 21-year-old in Nashville for the weekend celebrating 21-year-old birthdays with a bunch of girlfriends.
Happy birthday.
I got a 17-year-old son who's spending the weekend at Lollapalooza this weekend. So for any of you listeners that have kids, you know the stress that I'm going to be living under this entire weekend.
Oh boy, yeah, you got in two different places. I think I'd be more worried about Lollapalooza than the.
Well, exactly right. But at least I can drive to Lollapalooza if there's a problem, Dave. For those who don't know what Lollapalooza is, here in Chicago, downtown Chicago, it's a giant music concert. 4-day extravaganza, crazy festival. So,
good luck.
So, anyways.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, Dave. Hopefully, I'll be talking to you over the weekend.
Yes, we'll be chatting. So that's a good way to wrap it up. And
it really is.
Appreciate you, everybody listening. Thanks for joining us, and good luck and good racing.